My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to be talking today. I have a teaching today on 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go for the verse-by-verse teaching of this book, our letter, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. I have been preparing it. We're going to learn a tremendous amount about the Scriptures. So, it's a teaching, of course, and so get your pencils and papers out, and get your Bible open, and follow along, because that's the way you can learn. It's important that you do so. This book was the first one. This is the first book, or first letter, that Paul wrote. These Thessalonians was in Greece, and they're on the northeast corner of Greece, on the Adriatic Sea. And it was written from Corinth, and he wrote these to these people who had already went to sea, of course, and that these churches was totally established, and it was really remarkable because he was only there for 4 weeks. 4 weeks' time, and these people learned more in 4 weeks than I learned in a lifetime about the Scriptures. It was, I would have loved to have been there to listen to Paul preach. You see, these letters are to churches that he had already set up, and he already preached the gospel to these people, and they understood it, and they believed it, and they understood all aspects of it. And it was just, I mean, he really knew how to teach, and there's no ifs and buts about it. And we just get his letters, see, but he's already talking to people that are grounded in the gospel. And he knows, they know everything he's talking about. And these people were tremendous. It didn't take them long until they believed, and they were just all over that area that they were in, and they spread this gospel around the area so much that Paul said he didn't even have to, we'll see that, he didn't have to speak a thing to the people in that area, and it was a huge area, and they were marvelous people. They really were. However, they were when he came to there, they were in abject paganism. They were immoral people, and they were spiritual darkness. They had no idea of the living God, didn't have a clue, and they were searching, and he was there to tell them, and it was just wonderful. So what we're going to do today, we're just going to take our time, and we're first going to start off, we're going to learn about some of the major words that he deals with in this writing. And so that you can know what he's talking about as we continue a verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And then we're going to go directly from there to 2 Thessalonians. So we'll start off now. And this is going to be fun. It says, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus, I like to call him Silas, that's what they call him, and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he says, grace be unto you. Now, grace, people just read past that. But that is one of the most important words in the New Testament, I mean, for us, for the church. Because grace is something that never was preached before. And what grace means is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. In other words, Christ did everything. It's looking to the cross, that Jesus died on that cross to pay for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again, and then he gave us grace for those who believe that. And that grace was unmerited favor. That means we do not do one thing for our salvation except believe. And the Jews couldn't understand it. They never did. Peter, James, and John, the apostles, they couldn't comprehend such a thing because they came from a society of religion. Judaism is a religion, see. I mean, they had over 600 and some laws that they had to keep. And all of a sudden, the Gentiles came on the scene when they started teaching to them, and all they had to do is believe. That's it. They didn't have to be circumcised. They didn't have to keep the law. They didn't have to have temple worship. They didn't have to worship on the Sabbath. They didn't have sacrifices. You know, it was just, there were tons of things that Jews had to do in order to be saved. They had to repent. They had to be baptized. And then they could be could be saved, see. But we were totally different, see. Paul's church for the Gentiles, the body of Christ, was totally different than the Jewish. He was totally separated from Judaism. And that's what Jesus told him directly. This is going to be a church that is totally separated from Judaism. And all they have to do is believe the gospel. And when Jesus talked about gospel, he was talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to continue with that, always with that theme, because that's all Paul taught, was the gospel for salvation for the Gentiles. So it goes on, from grace be unto you and peace. Now, peace is a tremendous important thing. You see, when God looked down on this earth from heaven, he couldn't even deal with us because everybody was a sinner. I mean, there was none righteous. No, not one on this earth. And God could not look upon sin. And he had to take care of this sin question. Well, for a good many years, all the way from Adam up to Jesus, God required a sacrifice. And it had to be a human sacrifice. It had to be an animal sacrifice. And the animal had to be perfect, you know. And every year, a family would take an animal up, a goat or a sheep or a lamb or a calf, but it had to be perfect. It couldn't be a sick one. It couldn't be an old one. It couldn't be one that had a bad broken leg or anything like that or blemishes. It had to be perfect. And he had to take that lamb up to the altar, and they killed that lamb, and they put his blood on the altar. And that was to show a covering for their sin. And hopefully, God thought that having to kill a lamb for your sin, you'd realize how important it is not to sin. Because something had to die because of your sin. Well, when God decided to take care of the sin debt for the world, he decided to take his own son, and the Lord God, and he took on a human body, see, so that he could die. See, he couldn't die before. The Son of God could not die. He was God, and there's no way he could die, and so he had to take on a body. Well, all this time, and it had to be perfect, a perfect body. And he was going to come down on this earth, and he was going to die and pay the sin debt for mankind, the final sin debt for mankind. And in doing so, he would be able to have peace. People would have peace with God, because when they looked at him, looked at us, when God looks at Al Morse or looks at you, if you believe the gospel, that his son died on that cross to pay for your sins, and that he was buried and he rose from the dead, if you believe that gospel, he would see that your sins were covered and you were forgiven totally. Every sin that you've ever commit or every sin that you ever did commit, they were paid for. And so God can have communication with us then, not because of anything we did. It was what his son did on that cross to pay for your sin. And then we would have peace with God. You see, the world don't know that. The world is walking around, if you do not know God, are walking around, they're under the wrath of God. And every person that doesn't believe the gospel for their salvation, they're under the wrath of God because they didn't do what God told them to do. You see, Abraham was declared righteous because he believed God. Not because he believed in God. He believed God, and he proved it by his works. And we also become righteous because we believe God also. When Jesus tells us to believe the gospel for our salvation, we do it. And he becomes our Savior. He becomes our Lord. He becomes, everything to us, see. But we have to believe God in order to be saved. And when Jesus says, believe the gospel, and we say gospel, it means that Jesus died for our sins. Because, see, if he hadn't died for our sins, nobody could be saved. Because he was the only one that could do it. Because he was the only perfect sacrifice that walked this earth. And because he did that, and we believed it, we have peace with God. And these Thessalonians had peace with God because they accepted the gospel that Paul preached. On verse 2, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all making mention of you in our prayers. I don't think Paul ever, on all these epistles that I've read of his, he's always was a person of prayer. He prayed for these churches daily. They were in his heart constantly. And he was just overwhelmed with this, with these people. You see, Timothy, he left there and he went to Corinth, and he was very concerned about them, and so he sent Timothy back to see how they were doing, and he came back with a report, and he was just overjoyed because these people were truly believers, and they were just doing everything that Paul told them to do. And I don't think there is a church that he started that was as truthful and as believing as this church was, as far as that's concerned. He said, verse 3, he said, remembering without ceasing your works of faith and labor and love and patience and of hope of the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God in our Father. Verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He knew that. You know, they knew that they were elected from God, that God had chose them. And let's just do some, now we're going to do some Bible study. We're going to be going back and forth to different places all the time. And let's look at this. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Go back to the left. And look, we're talking about now the election of God, how we are elected. And another word that could be used, how we're chosen. And this was really neat. You see, most people don't understand that. But I'm going to show you. Let's start off at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us all in spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. You see, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the foundations of the world, God has already chosen his people that he's going to live with for eternity on this earth. And he knew the people that would believe the gospel, and he chose them. And it was up to him then. He'd get this gospel to him. And you see, this is what's been the problem of the churches today. They don't preach the gospel. They don't preach the gospel. Once a year they preach the gospel at Easter. You know, they talk about Christ dying and he rose from the dead. But they don't consider that salvation. All the churches that I belonged to for many, many years and all my lifetime never preached the gospel for salvation. They always preached believing in Jesus, taking Jesus as your Savior. And as you study in these scriptures, you'll never see that in here. It's not here. It doesn't then say nothing about believing in Jesus. It doesn't say anything about taking him as your Savior or taking him in your heart. When them people talk about those things, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Because God, Jesus himself told Paul to tell us, teach us the gospel. And we're talking about that. This is tremendously important for people to understand. Witness, look in this next verse, turn back to Thessalonians, and we see that it's on 5, it says, for our gospel came unto not into the world only, but also in the word only, but also in power and of the Holy Spirit. This gospel we're talking about, and I think we should talk about it, and because this may be the first teaching that you have heard of me. And so when we talk about gospel, we've got to tell you where it came from. So let's just put a marker in here in Thessalonians, and we'll be in verse 5, and let's look at what the gospel is. And so let's turn back to the left in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this will show you exactly what the gospel is. So that when he talks about gospel, you and I are on the same page. We know exactly what we're talking about. I consider these verses, four of them, the most important verses in the Bible. There's no more important, because this lays out what salvation is for the church today. Today, this is what we have to believe today in order to be saved. And isn't that why we go to church? Isn't that why we're seeking God? That we can be with Him for eternity, so we don't have to worry about death? And this is it, right here. Okay, so just turn to chapter 15 and verses 1. 1 Corinthians 15:1, it says, now he is teaching right now, speaking to the first Corinthians, or the Corinthian church. And this Corinthian church were totally understood the gospel when he wrote this letter to them, because they were grounded. You can see this now. It says, moreover, brethren. See, Paul only speaks to believers. All his epistles, he's talking to these churches, or he's talking to Timothy or Titus or Philemon. He's talking to these people who are believers already, see. But luckily he's talking about the gospel, because they've already believed the gospel. This is something that is nothing new to those churches. So, but he did say this. This is really tells what it is. It says, moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel. Now, I didn't say a gospel. This is the gospel. This is the gospel for your salvation. He said, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and by which you stand. These folks believed the gospel. They stood on this gospel. And it also in verse 2 says, by which also you are saved. Now, that is about as direct as you could get it. If you believe this gospel, what does it say? By which you are saved, see? But there's an if there. And the if is this. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So this is something that you've got to truly understand. This is something that you truly got to believe. You've got to believe this gospel for your salvation. And when you truly believe it, this is what saves you. That's why how you are saved. If you don't truly believe it, you know, you're not going to be saved. You have to truly believe this gospel for your salvation. Verse 3, it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. See, Paul received this gospel. And instead of just telling you here he received it, I'm going to show you where he received it, so you understand. So keep your hands where we're at now, and we're going to turn to the right in the Bible to go through 2 Corinthians, and then we go to Galatians. That's the next book. Our next letter. And look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. Most of you folks, if you've been following me, know these words very well. But you see, this is important. You know, it's tremendously important. We continue with telling the gospel. It says, but I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, and neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It came directly from the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus told him to preach the gospel. Now, how important is this gospel? Well, we're right here, so we just go back to verse 8. This shows you how important this gospel is for Jesus that told this to Paul. Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, he said, let them be accursed. That's anathema, and that means hellfire. I mean, this is horrible. If anybody preach under God any other gospel to you, let them be accursed. And then look at verse 9. He says, as I said before, so I now again say, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed. You see, in this gospel we just saw came directly from the risen Savior. You see, Jesus was totally rejected by the Jews. They killed him. I mean, that's quite a rejection. And they killed him in the most horrible way that you can, and that's crucifixion. They killed him. And so he turned away from the Jews. He set them totally aside, and he decided to make a whole new church. And he was going to deal not with Jews anymore. He was going to deal with the Gentiles. And this church was going to be called the Body of Christ. And this church was made up of nothing more than that Jesus was going to be the head of it. And all the believers that believe this gospel that we're going to talk about, every person that believed this gospel, was going to be saved. And that they didn't have to do anything else. They didn't have to keep the law. They didn't have to, you know, be circumcised. They didn't have to have temple worship. They didn't have to have sacrifices. And they didn't have to, they just weren't had anything to do with Judaism. And that would mean baptism, that would mean the tithe. All that's Judaism. It has nothing to do with the church. And all they had to do was believe this gospel. And that gospel was tremendously important, because if they preached anything other than this for salvation for their people, for the people of the world, if anybody preached any different than this, they're accursed. I ask you this question. Have you ever heard the gospel preached in your church? Have you had the preachers come up and say, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to show you what the gospel is. Have you had anybody, the preacher, stand up to you and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe? Have you ever had? I never have. I'm 71 years old, and I have yet to find a church that preaches the gospel. And they've just totally been blinded. And, you know, those preachers are in trouble. You saw what happens if you don't preach, if you preach any other gospel than what Paul preached. They're accursed. And this is the situation of the churches today. They stand accursed. And it's awful. And I know it's awful, but I can only show you what God said. Now, let's go back to chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, and look at verses 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3, it says, For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again on the third day according to Scriptures. That's the gospel that Paul preached. It's laid out just perfect. If you believe that Christ died for your sins on that cross, He shed His blood for you, He died for you to pay for your sin debt. See, if you believe He did that, and that He was buried, and of course He was buried, He was dead, and then He rose from the dead, what's that do? That proved that God raised Him from the dead, and it proves that God accepted His sacrifice for our sin. And if you believe that, you truly believe that, that you are totally saved. Saved beyond any imagination. You did what God told you to do. And that's believe the gospel. And that's all He asks you to do. And He'll take it from there. I mean, He will take it from there. He will keep you saved until He comes back and takes you home, either in death or at the rapture. Think about how wonderful that is. But while we're here, let's look at most important verse in the Bible. Let's turn to Ephesians. Let's go to Galatians, and let's go back to the right to Ephesians. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, and look what it says. It says, let's look at chapter 1, verses 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12. This is the second most important verses in the Bible. Because what it does, it tells you exactly what happens after you believe the gospel. It said that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. It said, in whom also you trusted. See, we trusted in Christ. When? After you heard the word of truth. And that's a word, that's a saying that He says many, many times in here. When you hear Him talk about the truth, the word of truth, or anything dealing with the truth, He's talking about the gospel, because what it says here, after you heard the word of truth, what is the word of truth? The gospel. See, now this is the word of truth, is the gospel. The gospel of what? The gospel of your salvation, just like we heard in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You were saved. See, this is the gospel of your salvation. in whom also, after you believed, believed what? This word of truth, this gospel, gospel of your salvation. When you believe that, look what happened. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That means God living in you. Think about that. Christ living in you. You see, that's why we don't need rules and regulations. We don't have to. We're not under the law. We're not under all these things that the Jews were under. All we're under is the grace of God. Unmerited favor. Jesus died on that cross, and all he asks us to do is to believe it. And that's the gospel. All he asks us to do is to believe it. And when we believe it, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit will come and live in your life, and he'll draw you closer to him every day. He'll never point you to sin. He'll always point you to a closer walk with him. And what is it? Verse 14 says, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? That's unto the praise of his glory. Okay, what does it mean by the earnest of our inheritance? We have a huge inheritance in heaven. A huge inheritance. And this is the down payment for it. As soon as you believe the gospel, God seals you. Man, don't. There's no other way to get the Holy Spirit except believe in the gospel. You can't pray for it. You can't walk down an aisle for it. You can't repent for it. You can't confess your sins for it. There's nothing way you can get this gospel or get this Holy Spirit is by believing the gospel for your salvation. And he does it from there. And he gives us our down payment for our inheritance until the redemption. That's when he takes us home. So until he takes you home, he is living in you, and he's going to keep you until either God comes or you die. But either way, you're going to be with him because you believe the gospel. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Now let's go back to our text, back to 1 Thessalonians. These things are important. I know it takes time, and we're going through this very slowly, it looks like, and we don't have just a few minutes left, so we're going to take up again on this here, and we're going to just have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your Bible, in your writings, in Thessalonians, and to understand these words are tremendous and important for us. Just guide and direct us the way we go. Open our minds so that we can understand and believe your word. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.